right, good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UC Whiteout TV. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We already made it halfway this week. I don't know, these weeks just seem like they're going to be horrible starting Monday. And then we're like, oh, it's Wednesday already. And then before we know it, it's Friday. Yay. But then the weekends go too fast. And we're back on the circle again. Well, school started in New York State this morning. I was up bright and early, kind of, for a few minutes. And then closed my eyes again for another few minutes. But yes, we heard the familiar school buses coming around the street. And that means that after the show today, I don't immediately have to run upstairs and be sociable. I can sit here and actually work for a few hours. It is 75 degrees and sunny here in upstate New York. I wanted to mention a couple things. I would like to say thank you, Lee, for the donation. Your help is greatly appreciated. Anytime I get a donation, I'd love to try to say thank you, because it helps immensely, and it makes me feel like somebody loves UCY. So thank you very much, Lee. I also want to mention that I started messing around with live streaming again yesterday. There is a new version of the live streaming on YouTube out, and it works way better than the one we were messing with last year. Last year was super buggy, and I think it had to actually do with the software that you had to use on the front end. I just had lots of difficulty, but I have to say, it was pretty easy to do, and I have a whole second machine sitting here that I probably could stream it on, so didn't have time this morning. I only had about 10 minutes to get down here and get situated, but maybe tomorrow we will definitely check that out. So where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show New Windows 7 and 8 Spying. Aptinos to Growing Human Brains. And if you remember, we looked at a lot of crazy stuff. Yes, Microsoft is spying on you with the same telemetry data that they're pulling in Windows 10. They snuck it in the back door and installed it on your computer without you knowing. I am actually going to go through that maybe this afternoon. I'm going to go through the uninstallation process of those 4KB files. They installed four of them on your machine, and after all the crazy problems I had this weekend where all my machines were on syrup, I was certain they were doing something, and then I ran across that story. So that was pretty interesting. Aptinos is the new mental health treatment. I don't remember what the mental illness was, if it was schizophrenia or if it was something else, but they're going to start treating mental health disorders, at least in this one case, with nasal sprays. And the one thing we talked about is in our research, we discovered that up the nose and inhalation is one of the ways that they discovered was easy for getting nanotech across that blood-brain barrier and into the brain. So keep an eye on that. I would not be jumping on anything that easily crossed that blood-brain barrier. That blood-brain barrier is there for a reason, people. And it's not to be breached. So, all right, let's take a look. And yeah, and then don't forget we were growing human brains. Human brains in a petri dish. That was really kind of insane. It was the size of a 5-week-old fetal brain. And they even said if they allow it to continue to grow, which I'm assuming they're going to, that it could grow itself to be a more mature brain. So, you know, here's the moral questions. Can it think and is it aware of what is happening to it? I found that story very disturbing. And, you know, we just keep continuing with the mad science gone mad file. One of the things that we had ended the show with yesterday was about the man who had received a polio virus, and they discovered that he's been shedding polio for 30 years. Yes, you know, one of the things that we've looked at about vaccines, we've talked about this extensively, and I don't know if it's going to be today. I had a rough morning already. But, you know, with vaccines, when you are vaccinated with something that's typically a live virus, right? They have live and killed vaccines, and there are a few ways that they do it. And when I was a kid, I remember it was a big deal. I got the killed polio. But before that, they had been giving the live polio. My dad's cousin actually was one of the statistics, one of the kids who was given the live polio vaccine, who then ended up with polio. Well, one of the things that they've been discovering over the years is when you give live virus to not only humans, but to animals as well. We just saw that the chicken farmers were up in arms over the new bird flu vaccine. Don't you remember that whole bird apocalypse? Whatever happened to that? That totally dropped right off the map, that they freaking culled half the chickens and turkeys in the Midwest because of bird flu, dog flu, bird flu, H1N, whatever it was. But they had come up with a vaccine, and the farmers were screaming because they're like, hey, there's virus shedding. If you give it to my healthy chickens, and there are other chickens that aren't vaccinated, aren't they going to end up catching the disease? And they found evidence of that a lot of times, like I said, not only in humans, but in animals as well. I'm trying to remember what the other one was. The swine flu vaccine 2009, when they were giving the kids the intranasal version, sticking it up their nose, by the way. Now that we've looked at the easiest way to cross that blood-brain barrier, yes, they were giving an intranasal version of the swine flu. It was liquid. The kid just sniffed, and it went up their nose, but it was live as well. Also, I've seen the rabies vaccine for dogs. They had the intranasal 1 year. I don't believe they had a 3 year. Don't ever get the 3 year rabies vaccine. That vaccine is causing sarcomas 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt. All right. Anyway, so they found for years that there was virus shedding that happens. But hey, don't worry about it because vaccines are safe. Vaccines are the extension of our bio warfare program that we've now spun out into all areas that are making all kinds of money, like the universities and the private industries that we've now all partnered with and we sprinkle money to help us develop the new bio, cures of tomorrow. All right, let's go back and read the story anyway, because this is very telling. Global advancements in the fight against polio have seen all but two countries declared free of the disease. And this is where we ended the show yesterday, with Pakistan and Afghanistan being the two remaining countries where the disease is still being circulated. But an alarming new study describes the case of an anonymous male patient in the UK who has carried the virus in his body for almost 30 years. Researchers from the National Institute of Biological Standards and Control analyzed more than 100 stool samples, which is disgusting, from the man collected over a 20-year period and found that each contained high levels of the polio virus. Now, here's one question that I have. So, first of all, how did they, maybe he had showed, and I thought they said he was asymptomatic. How did they know that he had polio virus in his stool? Did he go to the doctor one day 30 years ago or 20 years ago and say, I have a tummy ache, and they want a stool sample? And then they're like, oh, look, we found polio in there. Why did they start doing this testing to begin with? I don't quite understand. Maybe they had done some sort of antibody test and discovered that he was shit. I don't know. 30 years ago, they didn't have that technology to be able to see what you were shedding, did they? I don't really know. I'm confused as to why they were even doing stool samples for 20 years on some dude. Almost sounds like they were tracking him intentionally because he got the quote-unquote special strain. Anyway, back here. How could this be? After all, the man in question had received his full course of childhood immunizations. with an oral polio vaccine administered at 5, 7, and 12 months of age, plus a booster when he was about 7 years old. Well, according to the study, which is published in PLOS Pathogens, he was later diagnosed with a common variable immunodeficiency, which means that his immune system couldn't adequately kill off the small amounts of the virus delivered to his digestive tract by the vaccinations. Huh. How interesting is that? So they injected him, and I honestly, I don't know if this was the live or the killed 30 years ago. I'm probably going to say it was the killed. I'm in my mid-40s, and they had already started giving the killed when I was a child, so he had to have the killed already. But then it makes you wonder why his immune system couldn't fight off dead polio. I don't know. Something about the story is a little weird. Anyway, according to the study, which is published in PLOS Pathogens, he was later diagnosed with common variable immunodeficiency, which means his immune system couldn't adequately kill off the small amounts of the virus delivered to his digestive tract by the vaccinations. But when the doctors analyzed his stool samples, they found that the strains of vaccine-derived poliovirus were within the vaccination were different from the weakened vaccine strain which he was immunized as a child. So wait, let's read that again. When doctors analyzed his stool samples, they found that the strains of vaccine-derived poliovirus within the vaccination, were different from the weakened vaccine strain with which he was immunized as a child. What this means is that the virus in his system had mutated. Yes, it mutated in his body over the course of 28 years, developing into a potentially more dangerous form of polio. What? This is really, really nuts. Now think about this. We got one dude here, and I'm sure there's other cases that this is happening. Are we creating our own Typhoid Marys? We're going to have this genetic mutation in people, one out of, I don't know, let's make up a number, one out of every 100,000, even one out of every million that gets vaccinated has this genetic mutation that gives them this immunodeficiency, so their body can't completely kill it, so it's always in low grade, and the virus is replicating itself slowly but surely and mutating as he's being exposed to environmental toxins and whatever, who knows. But in one in a million, and I don't know, they don't give any numbers here, let's say these people become disease factories. And they're the Typhoid Mary type that where they're called carriers, right? Where they aren't affected, but they are spreading live disease everywhere they go and with everyone they touch. There are people like that. I had a friend. I'm trying to remember what mono. That's what it was. I had a friend I was in college with, and he was diagnosed with chronic mono. But the weird thing about it was is that it really didn't affect him, but he was a Typhoid Mary for mononucleosis. Everywhere he went, he could have been contagious. I don't know. They were doing all kinds of weird experiments on him, trying to figure out how to stop that. But I mean, it happens. It happens. Weird things have happened. All right, let's continue the story and see what else they say, because I don't want to start throwing out numbers. But just how bizarro is this? So this guy is a polio factory after getting the vaccine 30 years ago. Fortunately, the researchers believe that the excreted virus wouldn't threaten healthy people who have received polio vaccination. So, yes, you vaccinated herd, you. But that does not mean that we shouldn't be concerned about the risks of immunodeficient individuals. Of the total 73 similar cases that have been described between 1962 and 2014, only 7 involved infections lasting more than 5 years. So I guess there were only 7 of them worldwide. So that's probably a pretty small number, but still. You know, who's to say that something like this couldn't happen in animals? I mean, think about it. We got mutating bird flu, swine flu, dog flu. What was the last one that we saw? Never before seen. 2009, right? They're claiming it's a pandemic. They said, we never saw this before. It's bird flu mixed with swine flu, mixed with the regular flu. And oh my God, first time ever we've seen them all in the same illness. They're like, well, it must have happened out in nature somewhere, which I don't believe any of that. But if you have diseases mutating inside of organisms, and even though that organism seems to be somewhat immune to it, but they're shedding and spreading it everywhere, we got a problem, Charlie. We got a problem, is right. Anyway, the case described here represents by far the longest period of excretion described from such a patient, and the only identified individual known to be excreting highly evolved vaccine-derived poliovirus at present. Yes, and the worst part was the polio that he's excreting is from, they've been able to pinpoint that it was from the vaccinations he received as a child, and now it's mutated inside of him. It says, however, sewage samples collected in Slovakia, Finland, Estonia, and where? Oh, Israel. Oh, have also revealed the presence of the poliovirus, which suggests that, quote unquote, chronic excretors, i.e., other immunodeficient individuals who pass the virus in their waste, are living in these countries and may pose an ongoing risk to eradication efforts. It's going to make you wonder, too, if these people are chronic excretors, quote unquote. What type of ramifications does that have for places such as California or Texas, where they're seriously discussing and working on implementing toilet to tap water? You know, we've talked before about pharmaceuticals, and pharmaceuticals aren't necessarily always filtered out of water. A lot of them don't get filtered out of water at all. So we get re-medicated by drinking water that's been reintroduced into the system that's loaded with these strong pharmaceuticals and hormones, mind you. But what about if we find out that there are still viruses and diseases that maybe can live in this water even after it's purified? I mean, I don't know. If we have someone chronically excreting poliovirus into the water, I'm assuming if I pour chlorine in there, it's going to kill it all. But it's mutated. It's a mutated poliovirus. So I don't know, guys. This is some pretty scary stuff. And I mean, when we dig into DARPA and the bioweapons program and the Department of Defense and Plum Island and the University of Kansas now. That's where Plum Island's moving to. And the CDC and all their experimentation. I mean, the CDC was the one that published the study. They had it in their labs of that 1918 flu that they were able to re-engineer so it was going to kill 90% of all the population. I mean, when we look at this absolute mad science gone mad, this was just the tip of the iceberg. And this was like standard manipulation of viral life. And we're off the hook now. We got lunacy going on. Life creating life and evolving, even. Synthetic life creating synthetic life and evolving. Flipping switches on and off with a spray, you know, using spray on RNA. It's just insane. I can't even, some days it's really difficult for me to wrap my head around just how absolutely insane everything is. All right, let's finish the story and move on to something else. Because, I mean, this is kind of making me upset. So anyway, how many of these chronic excreters are excreting dangerous pathogens into the waterways? Who knows? In the worst case scenario, the transmission of these strains to non-vaccinated individuals could even cause a new outbreak of the disease. Oh, those non-vaccinated troublemakers. Leading the researchers to argue, and here we go, to argue that we need an enhanced surveillance system to track any such strains and to develop antiviral treatments to interrupt virus replication in immunodeficient individuals, which so far does not exist. Now, yeah, so what does this mean? Well, our fuck up, meaning we didn't realize that maybe some of these diseases were going to mutate inside of people and continue spreading everywhere. Now we've discovered this, and we discovered that even though we've only ever found 7 cases that have lasted more than 5 years, we've checked the sewer systems of multiple European countries and found out that, oh, it's all over. And maybe it's much more common than we think. So our solution? A big fat surveillance system to be able to surveil us at a viral level and track any type of strains that we discover and develop new treatments for the affected individuals, because everybody's been bagged and tagged and databased. And so guess what? We'll be able to know who's been vaccinated, who's been infected. They already have. I think it actually came out of the 2001 attacks when they first had those first anthrax attacks after 9/11. And they had started with their biosensors for places like New York City. There were these tiny little like stick-on sensors, and they were going to be putting them on all the light posts. And I don't think you have too many. Well, you might have telephone poles there, but they were going to put them all throughout downtown as an early warning system to detecting pathogens. But we, you know, these pathogens, they just don't show up. Remember back a few months ago, we read a story about, oh, look at 68 new branches on the tree of life discovered in a puddle in Colorado. Never before seen all these new life forms at a bacterial level. This is just insane. I think a lot of the stuff that we've created this, and now they're going to point to us. Yes, it's the anti-vaxxers. And, you know, the reason why they're going to do that, and maybe we can find this story if I still have it up. I was cleaning my links up yesterday. I had so much open everywhere. Yes, as we have 271 new vaccinations in the pipeline, there needs to be a reason for people to go along with the mantra of being vaccinated as the thing to do. All right, let's take a look at this. Roll up your sleeves, folks. There are 271 new vaccines in Big Pharma's pipeline. Now, remember, 30 years ago, the polio vaccine, I mean, honestly, I haven't looked into the ingredients. I don't know. But let's put on the common sense hat here. Okay, we like to do that. 30 years ago, at least from what I understand, despite the fact that I think the SV40 monkey cancer virus was in there. They didn't have nanoparticulates and RNAi floating around in the polio vaccines, at least as far as I know from 30 years ago. Any vaccine that is coming out today, new and improved, all these new vaccines are working with this new synthetic biology. They're finding newfangled ways to flip switches on and off. And they need a human pincushion to test it on. So now, there's two things you could do. You can consent. And nobody argues. You line up your kid. You take him in. And then they track your progress, just like this young gentleman, 30 years, 20 years taking poop samples to see what would happen. I still want to know, like, why they were taking stool samples for 20 years. Was he diagnosed with immunodeficiency 20 years ago and they thought, well, we'll take poop samples? That just doesn't make sense to me. And then they're like, oh, it must have been the polio vaccine we gave him 28 years ago because we're still finding it mutated. I don't understand why they were testing this guy all that time. I don't know. I might have to dig into that further. We'll have to try some names and see. But anyway, their mantra now is to get this mad science gone, man, and crack all of the mysteries of the human genome. And that's what this is all about right now. So there are 271 new vaccines in the big pharma's pipeline. It says, quote, no vaccine manufacturer shall be liable for damages arising from vaccine-related injury or death. And that was President Ronald Wilson Reagan as he signed the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, or the NCVIA, of 1986, absolving drug companies from all medico-legal liability when children die, become chronically ill with vaccine-induced autoimmune disorders, or are otherwise disabled from vaccine injuries. That law has led directly to an expected reckless, liability-free development of scores of new, overpriced, potential blockbuster vaccines that now number over 250. The question that must be asked of big medicine's practitioners, how will the CDC, the AMA, the AAFP, and the American Academy of Pediatrics fit any more potentially neurotoxic vaccines into the current well baby over vaccination schedule? And that is a really good question. I did not realize that there was Ronald Reagan who had inked the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, but that was a very dangerous act. We also found out with Project BioShield. Project BioShield allows, under the guise of national security, that they can test untested vaccinations on the human population if it has been declared an emergency. So between these two acts and projects, we are 100% full guinea pigs with no liability whatsoever for any of the lunatics that are creating these new fangled poisons that they want to inject into our children and into us. Vaccinate All Children Act of 2015 and the Healthy People Act of 2020. All right, let's read a little bit more. PHRMA, which stands for the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, which is the pharmaceutical industry's trade association and powerful lobbying group, has said, quote, today, more than 7,000 medicines are in development globally. 7,000. All of which have the potential to help patients in the United States and around the world. Yes, it's always about helping you. According to another data source, there are 3,400 medicines in development today just in the United States. An increase of what? 40% since 2005. Well, how damn interesting. Project BioShield became official in 2006. And that dangled all kinds of federal dollars at all these biopharma companies to get them to create new mad science gone mad vaccines. Keep us safe against bioterror in new and interesting ways. Pharma, spelled P-H-R-M-A, also says that today, the 271 vaccines in development span a wide array of diseases and employ exciting new scientific strategies and technologies. These potential vaccines, all in human clinical trials or under review by the Food and Drug Administration, include 137 for infectious diseases, 99 for cancer. Remember I told you, step right up for your cancer treatments. We'll just make it all go away with these new nanobody thingies. We have a nanobot story, too. There's also 15 for allergies and 10 for neurological disorders, which almost seems like an oxymoron, giving a vaccine to fix a neurological disorder. Whenever the FDA signals that it is ready to grant marketing approval for a new vaccine or drug, the first step for the pharmaceutical company's marketing department is to promote a, quote, educational, unquote, advertising campaign designed to instill fear in parents and their pediatricians about the horrible illnesses, albeit previously unknown, benign, or rare, that even U.S. doctors hadn't yet recognized as being significantly up until recently. Yeah, that's like here in New York State, all of a sudden, we have this brand new meningitis vaccine to keep you safe. And oh my God, the pediatrician said she saw one case and how horrible it was. Yes, the 1 in 4 cases we ever see in New York in a year. Yet the vaccine statistically damages more children than it cures. Most of the U.S. physicians have gone along with the fear-mongering that makes our practices busier, while it also makes billions of dollars in profits for some unworthy CEO or Wall Street investment banker, hedge fund manager, or mutual fund investor, or your congressman invested, yes, more than half of the congressmen are now millionaires. All at the expense of America's precious and vulnerable children who are at high risk of being sickened along the way. The TV commercials, the medical journal articles, and the drug representatives will be trying to educate us about a new, unaffordable vaccine that will somehow be squeezed into an already crowded and potentially deadly group of shots that America's already at risk of vaccine-injured infants will now be receiving at their next well, child, perhaps soon to become the chronically ill checkup. Recognizing this, and so as to not overload the already overloaded well child inoculation schedule, perhaps the CDC, which is the big pharma subsidized and vaccine cheerleading Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I have a note to make on that, will be adding shots to the in-hospital and irrational Hep B shot that it recommends giving on day one. And they do. They give infants that on day one of life when vulnerable mothers are too exhausted and emotionally confused to truly give informed consent. Yeah, they have you do it while you're like in a coma. You know, back to this comment about the CDC being the big pharma-subsidized vaccine cheerleader. We discovered, and I don't remember her name, Julie Werthgergel or something, but she had been the head of the CDC all the way up and through Bush and that passage of the Project BioShield. And then when Obama came into office, I don't know if there was a falling out or whatever, but she left and moved over into the head top seat of being in charge of Merck's vaccine division. Now, if that isn't a slap in the face to tell you who's buttering whose bread. Because since then, and what did they say? This was as of 2005. It's gone up 40% for vaccinations. She moved out in 2008, I believe, when Obama came to office. But, you know, I'm sure that she probably was already priming the pump to make sure that her stock options were going to be worth something once she sold them off. And they were, too. She made a couple million dollars just recently. Many state legislators are weak, are as we speak, but they're weak too, considering or already have passed laws criminalizing the previously legal parental right of refusing vaccinations based on religious or philosophical beliefs. That is happening right now in Wisconsin's Republican-dominated legislature, Minnesota's split GOP-DFL legislature, and California's Democratic Party-dominated legislature, where it's already been signed into law by Jerry Brown. And everybody keeps missing New York. That same exact thing is happening in New York State as well. These poorly informed and heavily bribed politicians don't realize that their legislative efforts will be blindly forcing unsuspecting patients to submit to every new blockbuster vaccine that successfully emerges from the pipeline. Talk about making decisions on the basis of partial information or propaganda from sociopathic corporate entities. Attention, Senator Al Franken, Amy Klobuchar, and other assorted legislators. Are you listening to the real science or to the corrupted pseudoscience of Big Pharma? And I will second that opinion. Below is a list of 146 new vaccines that were in the pipeline as of 2010. And the list, Pharma proudly tells us, is now up to 271 new vaccines as of 2013. And then they give a full listing of all the vaccine trials. Actually, it's down below as well. For parents whose infants' brains and bodies are immunologically and developmentally immature, be aware that your child may be forced to suffer untested for and therefore unacknowledged long-term neurological, autoimmune, and chronic illness adverse effects. And parents also need to be aware that if their infant dies, is sickened, or made chronically ill by the vaccine ingredients, they, as protective parents, will be forbidden to sue the guilty drug company or the doctor that administer them for appropriate damages. Parents and grandparents of children need to be aware of the fact that many of these new vaccines will be containing contaminants such as unfilterable viral particles, bacterial particles, monkey kidney cell fragments, human fetal cells, squalene. We've talked about that many, 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 many times, which is in anthrax and some of the experimental swine flu vaccines. And guys, I told you that it was never approved. Never approved in this country until they pulled Project BioShield in 2009 with the swine flu, quote unquote, pandemic. And then said, oh my God, we don't have enough vaccine. Let's open the doors to the one that's available in Europe, which, oops, by the way, has squalene as an adjuvant, but don't tell anybody, it's not approved here. And it doesn't have to be, because what? We declared a state of emergency. We shipped it in. I'm going to find proof of that. There was a story out of Natural News, which, you know, pay attention to your sources, but it said that they had never administered vaccines with squalene in it to people during that outbreak. And I beg to differ on that. I followed that very, very closely. I was fully aware of squalene back from the early 90s. I was fully aware of sarcomas caused by adjuvants and rabies vaccines in animals. So I watched it very closely, and it was let into this country, and they were giving those vaccinations. But it's like they wiped it out of the historical record. I can find all the way up to where they declared a pandemic and they shipped the virus, the vaccinations in. but I can't find anything that specifically states that they injected squalene into the American public. We know they did in the anthrax vaccine in the military, but I'm saying for the pandemic. But I'm sure they did. Project BioShield made that fully legal. Also, contaminants such as peanut oil, which is a likely cause of the epidemic of peanut allergies. I didn't know they had peanut oil in vaccines. Formaldehyde and even foreign DNA fragments, as well as other known neurotoxic additives such as formaldehyde and aluminum and perhaps even mercury, all of which are known genetic toxins, known causes of sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle, but always preventable brain damage, vaccine-induced epilepsy, autoimmune disorders, the so-called but erroneously labeled shaken baby syndrome, now increasingly understood to represent a vaccine-induced encephalitis, SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome, dementia, autism spectrum disorders, mitochondrial toxicity, damage to the brain's microglial and astroglial cells, which is the brain's immune system, etc. Sure, let's line our kids up for this. A list of the 146 of the 271 vaccines in Big Pharma's developmental pipeline as of 2010. And this list is freaking long. I am not going to read through all of these. But, I mean, are we really, do we really need to be vaccinating our children in the United States against yellow fever? Well, apparently so. There's been an outbreak. Oh, my God, an outbreak of yellow fever in California. I mean, I wonder if they have a black plague vaccination yet, considering now we've had 4 or 7 cases already this year. Yes, the Black Plague is back. It's another one I'm looking at here. Stay away from anything that says recombatant, because that's going to have some sort of foreign organisms in it, DNA from other species. And I really wasn't going to be on vaccines for the whole day today, but I guess that's the way it turned out. So hold on, we got to go. I had the whole show lined up on the other computer, and I'm on the computer to my left, not on the computer in front of me. So we kind of went down another rabbit hole. But here, we're going to look at something. If my page loads, because on top of discovering that Representative Posey out of Florida had real documentation from a CDC whistleblower that he went up in front of Congress and blew the lid off the fact that the CDC had hid knowledge, destroyed documents that the MMR vaccine had caused autism. There was a direct connection, right? We just found that out just recently. Here is another blow, and this is out of Stanford University. This woman was coming at the research as a pro-life advocate. She had started digging into vaccinations and creating vaccinations which did not have any fetal tissue, okay? Because that was something that she had some big ethical issues over. But wait until you hear what she discovered. Stanford scientists, this was just the other day this came out. Stanford scientists proving DNA fragments in vaccines cause autism. And actually, I see that this is from April, but I got my hands on it a couple days ago. Saying vaccines cause autism these days brings forth a great many passionate debates. Yes, from a lot of idiots who don't look at any of the science. They just believe that the government and their former biowarfare program is here to keep them safe. Brings forth many a great passionate debate, and pro-vaxxers have launched government and celebrity-funded campaigns to make sure that no one out there ever even considers the idea, no matter how much evidence is put forth. But that hasn't stopped everyone from keeping up the good fight to keep vaccines and big pharma honest. Dr. Teresa Descher, a PhD in molecular and cellular physiology from Stanford University, the very first person to discover adult cardiac-derived stem cells, those are the ones that actually pump on their own, determined that residual human fetal DNA fragments in vaccines may actually be one of the causes of autism. Of autism in children through vaccination. It is possible, she says, that these contaminating fragments could be incorporated into a child's genome and disrupt normal gene functioning, leading to autistic phenotypes. And her entire study is published here. Says, of course, Dr. Drescher's credentials are no joke at all. She has over 19 years in commercial biotechnology, but no matter, because the social movements bullying anti-vaxxer movements won't concern themselves with credentials or experience in the field of actual studies. Instead, they will disregard, contact Jimmy Kimmel and Penn and Teller and have a celebrity video created in response. Yes, it is an absolute utter propaganda war. You know what? We don't believe the facts. We believe our favorite TV characters. And guess what? Jimmy Kimmel and Penn and Teller make us laugh. And we can point and laugh at those tinfoil hat wearing anti-vaxxers who seem to think that the government doesn't have our best interest or our future long-term health in mind. Why would they be using us as a guinea pig? They've never done that before. What? Well, yes, they haven't done that before. Wink. Says our children are at risk from social incompetence, and I would second that opinion. But we can change this. We have the power, and when we have actual scientists with years upon years of experience and achievements trying to tell us what is happening, then we need to listen. Unfortunately, this study will probably fall mostly on deaf ears. And how disturbing is that? A Stanford scientist who's actually found evidence that those fetal strains, I think they said it was from like 40 plus years ago that they had this DNA that's still in the root batch that they mix up vaccines with. That's where this fetal tissue came from. But they're discovering that that fetal tissue combines itself with the DNA of the organism that it's injected into, and it's causing some issues. And there's a really, really scientific study that I have up here that is probably not something that's readable on the air. I can read the conclusion. That's the only thing that's not in real technical mumbo jumbo, but all of her experiments are displayed with nice slides and readings and everything. I will make sure that this is in the notes of the show. The conclusion to her study says not only damaged human cells, but also healthy human cells can take up foreign DNA spontaneously. Foreign human DNA taken up by their human cells will be transported into nuclei and can be integrated into the host genome, which causes phenotype changes. Hence, residual human fetal DNA fragments in a vaccine can be one of the causes of autism spectrum disorder in children through vaccination. The vaccines must be safe without any human DNA contaminations or reactivated viruses and must be produced in ethically approved manufacturing processes. So, I mean, that's two or three now in the last month that we have seen some real evidence that questioning the paradigm and the safety of these vaccinations that are obviously motivated by nothing more than profit. It's a profit orgy. And we have millions of people that we could test this shit on. I mean, it used to be just brown people in other countries. But hey, it's an absolute orgy now. And as all these states and the federal government start implementing under the guise of national security mandatory vaccinations, it's going to be unlike anything we have ever seen before. All right, last story here. We're getting toward the end of the show. I don't know. Tomorrow we're going to do Ponytail Cam. We're going to see how Ponytail Cam works out with the audio stream simultaneously. And if they happen to work together, we might actually start doing it again. All right, this is out of a publication called Nanowerk, NANOWERK.com, August 26, 2015. Nano-engineered 3D-printed swimming micro-robots. We knew they would be here soon. These sound very similar to the technologies that we've been following with the nanobots treating cancers, where they load them with a payload of some sort of virus-like particle or whatever medication they want to get to you at a cellular or a tumor level. And then they let these little micro robots go in your bloodstream. All right, let's read this. Nano engineers at the University of California, San Diego used an innovative 3D printing technology they developed to manufacture multi-purpose fish-shaped micro robots called microfish that swim around efficiently in liquids, are chemically powered by hydrogen peroxide, and are magnetically controlled. These proof-of-concept synthetic microfish will inspire a new generation of smart micro-robots that have diverse capabilities such as detoxification, sensing, and directed drug delivery, among other things, said researchers. The technique used to fabricate the microfish provide numerous improvements over other methods traditionally employed to create microrobots with various locomotion mechanisms such as microjet engines. Yes, I want one of those inside of me. Micro drillers and micro rockets. What? That's insane. Micro engines, micro drillers, and micro rockets inside of your bloodstream. Most of these micro robots are incapable of performing more sophisticated tasks because they feature simple designs such as spherical or cylindrical structures and are made of homogeneous inorganic materials. In this new study, researchers demonstrated a simple way to create more complex micro robots. And, again, technological difficulties. What the? Hold on. My story doesn't scroll. I can see the top paragraph, but that's about all. Hold on. We'll try it on this other machine. I don't give up that easily. All right. I can scroll on this machine. It says the research led by Professor Xiaochen Chen and Joseph Wang of the Nanoengineering Department at the UC San Diego was published on August 12th in the Journal of Advanced Materials. By combining Chen's 3D printed technology with Wang's expertise in micro robots, wow, it's the Chen Wang microbot, the team was able to custom build microfish that can do more than simply swim around when placed in a solution containing hydrogen peroxide. Nano engineers were able to easily add functional nanoparticles, I knew it, ding ding, into certain parts of the microfish bodies, and then they installed platinum nanoparticles in the tails, which react to hydrogen peroxide to propel the microfish forward, and magnetic iron oxide nanoparticles in its head, which allowed them to be steered with magnets. I really want one of these in my bloodstream. Quote, we have developed an entirely new method to engineer nature-inspired microscopic swimmers that have complex geometric structures and are smaller than the width of a human hair. With this method, we can easily integrate different functions inside these tiny robotic swimmers for a broad spectrum of applications. As a proof of concept demonstration, researchers incorporated toxin neutralizing nanoparticles throughout the bodies of the microfish. Specifically, the researchers mixed in polydiactylene nanoparticles, PDA for short, which capture harmful pore-forming toxins, such as the ones found in bee venom. Oh! The researchers noted that the powerful swimming of the microfish in solution greatly enhanced their ability to clean up toxins. And when the PDA nanoparticles bind with the toxin molecules, they become fluorescent even and emit pretty red-colored lights. The team was able to monitor the detoxification ability of the microfish by the intensity of their red glow. How insane is this little swimming micro nanobot fish for your bloodstream? I don't want one of these. Run away screaming. It says another exciting possibility would be to explore encapsulating medicines inside of the microfish and use them for directing drug delivery. You knew that was coming. All right, guys, make sure you stick around because it is Wednesday. We have Ms. Lonnie Clark up next. And then live at 6 p.m. tonight, Josh with Anti-Tyranny News. The boys from New York with the Continual Condition at 8 p.m. Eastern. Truth or Talk with April and Verstein at 9. And Anti-Media Radio with Nick and TV at 11. Everyone have an awesome Wednesday. Awesome.